Look around to see who's missing and call them this week and tell them you missed them. Amen? You know, when we get into this subject tonight and the old priests were not able to save their own souls or in their own lives, much less them that came to them. I saw a little picture today. It was on Facebook, and I saw, and I'll just leave that alone. I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Hallelujah. The priest then couldn't save anybody, and the priest today, it's all about Jesus Christ, and God gave us a better covenant. So when he says in 1 Peter, we're a chosen generation, we're a royal priesthood, we're a holy nation, we're a peculiar people, that's because we have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And tonight I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 19. But we'll start reading on verse number 15. You know, the Bible says, and it was yet far more evident, for after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest. Now, we know that Abraham even brought his tithe to Melchizedek, okay? And we bring it to a greater priest, which is our Lord Jesus, who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. You know, for he testifieth that thou art a priest for after the order of Melchizedek. Let me say something to you. And Catholic religions, many of them still have Jesus hanging on the crucifix or hanging on the cross. He is still there, and they come to the priest for resolution, okay? And he can't resolve or take care of anything. It's through Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Jesus is no longer on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended to the Father's right hand. And he'll return for his bride, which is his church. So when we're looking at this, he says, for he testifieth that thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing it in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. So tonight we're going to look at, first we're going to look at the, what? He was a priest. He was one of the high priests. That's who Abraham brought his tithe to. He's a high priest. Okay? He was a person. Okay? And so tonight we're going to look at the superiority of the second covenant. Okay? First thing I have, it's better. Amen? You know? It's like if you wrote a contract and you made it better. Amen. The first contract worked for a season till all was fulfilled, and then he gave us the best contract. And the second contract, the second covenant, is the last covenant. There won't be another. So first we're looking at it's better. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 6. The writer of Hebrews says, but now have he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I have made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that he saith, A new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Amen. So he's given us a better covenant. And this better covenant, it's brighter. It's a brighter covenant. I love what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 23. He says, It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Amen. In other words, the second priest is right in the presence of God. When Jesus says, I forgive you, you're forgiven. I'm forgiven because he was forsaken. I'm accepted. He was condemned. I'm alive and well. His spirit is within me because he died and rose again. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And if you get revelation of this covenant we're in, there's no one else that can redeem us or forgive us but Jesus. So it's not only brighter, but it's more beneficial. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 27, he said, In this word, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. So first we find that the superiority of the second covenant, it's better. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, we're under a better covenant. Secondly, we look at the source of this covenant. Is one, it starts by faith. By faith. Everything, we're a faith ministry. We're a word ministry, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things we're hoping for, the evidence of things that we're not seeing. So with Romans chapter 8, verse 24, the word of God says, For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Amen. Amen. So our source is faith, by faith and by following. Amen. Jesus said, come follow me. So we're following him. And 1 Peter chapter 3. The word of God says this. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify, purify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I want to say something here. Man, we're going to do some evangelism training on Sunday nights, and I think that it was important for some men and women to come out to some training. If you want to see a move of God, let me ask you a question. How many people have you led to the Lord this year? Amen? You know, how many did you lead to the Lord last year? If he says signs and wonders will follow them that believe, we ought to be leading some people to Jesus. Let me say this to you. People are looking for a move of God and looking for God to move in a mighty way. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say miracles will come from worship. So we're thinking that worship will generate it and bring it to pass. No. He said, go win souls. Amen. He says, signs and wonders will follow them that believe. In my name you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall take up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. It's about souls. Amen. God cares about souls. God's in for souls. If you want to see signs and wonders and miracles, start leading people to Jesus. And signs and wonders will follow them that believe. God can't help but come into it and enter into it because he said it in his word. And he's faithful. Amen. Amen. We're thinking that sometimes we can generate it or make it happen. And God says, well, you want to make it happen? Follow my word. My word says, go win souls. Amen. Share the gospel. Go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and baptized shall be saved. He who believes not shall be damned. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Is that too rough? It's the word, right? Amen. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Hey, somebody here has a sickness they've been wanting to get rid of. And God says, if you will share the gospel and lead somebody to Jesus, I'll heal your body. Amen. That's the covenant we're under. That's the promises of God. Amen. So he tells us to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that whereas they may speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Amen. Open our mouths and boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. And this is what, and thirdly, I have by fashioning. When we're sharing the gospel and we're walking in the love of God, that's our fashion statement. It's not about what we're wearing. Sometimes it's like, am I cool enough? All right, am I dressed cool enough? No, it doesn't matter. Amen. We're fashioning ourselves after Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, follow me. And as we're following him, we're becoming disciples, okay? We're following his example. And his example in 1 John chapter 3, the beloved writes this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, he says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Hello? I didn't say it. God said it. Amen. So we find the superiority. We find the source. And now we're going to find the state. And the state I have here is the state of mind, okay? The state of mind is, first and foremost, is to trust. If you look on the marquee when you came in tonight, I'm preaching Sunday's messages, trust is a must. Amen? There's no option B, no plan B. But the psalmist said in Psalms 73:28, he said, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Amen? We just said it a minute ago. How much has God done for us, man? I don't know. He's done so much for me. Amen. So to have the state of mind to trust, it calls for us, secondly, to transfer, okay? I'm not trusting in myself. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 22. He said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised. Amen. I don't know about you, but God promises to bless his children. God promises to let his light shine upon us. Amen. You know, God's got his promises to us. And when we're in this covenant, this is what a covenant is, for your understanding. It's an agreement between two parties. Now, we're always trying to hold God to his side. But God says it's two parts of this agreement, this covenant. It's an agreement between two parties. We have to do our part, he'll do his part. Amen. And if we do it as God said and as Christ said, he can't help but reward it, because he promised it. So if we're looking at that, he has said to us also this to transform us. In James chapter 4, he says in verse 8, draw near to God or draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh or near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. In other words, God is saying to us that, hey, we have a covenant, and this covenant is a contract between two parties. God says that if we do our part, he will do his part. Amen? Watch why he says to us, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, they reap. Amen? So I like that where he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness upon us. Amen? So last is the standing, to be in right standing. And the Lord took me right back to where this study started and is based upon in Romans 5. Therefore, verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace where we stand, rejoice, and the hope of the glory of God. Amen. So what is he saying to us tonight? He is saying to us that the superiority, the covenant we have, it's better, it's brighter, it's more beneficial. The source is by faith, by following, by fashioning our lives. The state of mind is to trust. The trust only comes when we transfer. When we transfer our trust, he can transform our lives. The standing is standing on the promises of Christ our King. I like that song. How many like that song? Standing on the promises. I told her, Cassandra, I told her no with my eyes. And she went running. So, the superiority of the grace of God by faith being our source to bring us into a better state and a better standing with God. Amen? I don't know about you, but I love the Word of God. I love it. It says the Word of God is quick and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Pierces the body of the soul and spirit. It's discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. says we allow the word to minister to our hearts and lives. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for the word of God. I don't know about you, but as a man of God, I'm grateful that when I do what God says, I expect him to do what he says. And he does what he says, and he expects me to do what he calls us to do. Amen? Amen? There's a lot of grace. We're in a season of grace. God's pouring out his grace. But you know what? There's coming a time really soon when the grace faucet's turned off. Hello? Amen? When judgment comes to the world, grace isn't involved any longer. Amen? It's almost like what Jesus said. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. You know, so it's important for you and I. Hey, God has gifts that he's given to everybody. It's important for you and I to follow his word. As we follow his word, we can do everything God said. These dreams and visions we have, all God says is this. Stop putting the cart in front of the horse. Get the horse in front of the cart. Hello? In other words, put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay? We're trying to add the things first, and then we'll see if we have time. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I don't have time. Well, you know what? You better make time. Amen? Because he says, hey, there's a harvest for everything we reap. I don't know about you. But I believe God wants to bring some souls into the kingdom. Amen? I believe that God wants to use each and every one of us. So I encourage you, 6:30 Sunday night, come out to our house. And we're going to have a couple weeks of study. Then we're going to go out in the streets and lead people to Jesus. Amen? Jesus said, come follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. He never sent people fishing. He said, follow me. Amen? Can we all stand? Thank you, Jesus. Can you lift our hands to heaven if you would like to? If you don't, don't. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for every man, woman, and child that's in this room tonight, Father God. I thank you that you've called and appointed and anointed each and every one of us, Father God. Father, may we take your word, may we meditate upon it, may we digest it. May it become life to our bodies, minds, our souls, and our spirits, Father God. Father, I thank you, Father God, that you've given us the Holy Ghost. Lord, many of us need to be refilled, refreshed, renewed, Father God. Many of us need the gifts of God to be stirred in us. They're laying dormant, to be activated, Father God. I thank you for each and every one, Father God. I thank you for their lives, Father God. I thank you for the doors of opportunity that you're opening and you're affording to them, Father God. But Father God, there's only one thing that saves. It's the gospel. My testimony never saved a soul. My testimony just gives a thirst and hunger for the gospel. So Father God, help us to open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And we'll never cease to give you all the glory and honor and praise, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.